All right. Ladies and gentlemen of the GED class of 2016, I have one piece of advice for you. No matter what a stripper tells you, there's no alcohol in ginger beer. Oh, there's ginger in ginger beer, but you don't want ginger. You want alcohol. And there's absolutely no alcohol in ginger beer. All right, so with that said, this is episode one of, I like what is TWS. This is the White Pants Society, though. So you know what TWS is, but we're going to say this is episode one of the What is TWS podcast. My name today is Jay Flan. I'll let you introduce yourself, sir.
Ooh, sorry. I had a moment over there. I just ate this spicy Cajun shrimp. Apparently, I made it too Cajun. But Rich Nerd, second half, co-founder, contributor to What is TWS, the White Pants Society. Like my partner said earlier. So, yeah.
Hey, so here we go. This is episode one. First official episode. I feel like I've said this is episode one like 12 times already.
Yeah, I think we've just been, you know, getting our bearings, testing out the equipment, getting everything together. I think we're finally in a place where we're good. So we're going to make today's episode the inaugural episode.
Yes.
We'll probably go ahead and chop the other ones up, do some editing, get them online anyway.
Yeah.
But for all intents and purposes, this millionth recording will be episode one of What is TWS Podcast. So I'm excited.
Yeah, a lot of work has gone into this moment right here. And man, glad to finally have everything sort of finalized, got the team together. We got our direction set. So here we go. Birth of a podcast. All right. So the whole goal of this podcast, really, and Rich, you can chime in with your opinions, but I think that the goal for me is cultural exchange. We want to ask those questions you always wanted to ask, and have an open forum where, you know, with as little judgment as possible. I tend to judge, and I don't apologize for it. But
I think that's the other goal, for us to be unapologetically us.
Yeah.
You know, to unbiased, no systematic racism, no systematic bias, no systematic BS, no stereotyping. Just giving our blunt 100% opinions on everything.
Everything.
And I think that's a good thing. It's like you said, this is, it's going to be a cultural, I guess, exchange, so to speak. There's always those questions you ask, why is this person doing this? Why is this person doing that? And people do initially look down and judge on people, but it's because we don't know why they're doing what they do. So, you know, we're here to enlighten people on many cultural differences. And, but do it in a comedic fashion. You know, we're not here to bring people down. We're going to, you know, mix it up. It's not always going to be serious issues, but we're going to, you know, touch on many of a topic.
Yeah. We're just going to we're gonna be our genuine selves. Like I think I came up with this idea because we have good conversations. We have some pretty dope conversations. And
We have had a lot of conversations to where I was like, I wish we could have recorded that.
Somebody needs to hear some of this stuff. So here you go. You gotta you can be a fly on the wall as me and Rich just shoot the shit, I guess. So I think to start, we do have to send our thoughts and prayers to everyone affected by Hurricane Matthew, Haiti, the Bahamas, Florida, the Carolinas. I know a lot of people were hit hard. We got, you know, a lot of lives lost, a lot of property lost.
I saw it in the news, and they were saying it was going to be big. Didn't think it was going to be that big.
That big. Yeah.
Once they started all of the evacuation procedures, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
This is big.
It's real.
Yeah, shit got real quick.
Real
like
fast.
Zero to homeless, like, real quick. Like, it got bad. And sidebar. Saw an article the other day.
Okay.
Same subject, but a little bit of a tangent. You ever notice every time a major catastrophe hits Haiti, it misses the Dominican Republic as if it's like, I'm not going to go around a corner. It's the same damn island. How every single time hits the left side, not the right side, hits the front, not the back. How do you, it's like the Hurricane Matthew was like, nah, I'm not fucking with them. They got them chincletas and I'm going other way straight back. I don't know. I think that's crazy, but anyway.
I don't know. They got good rum in the Dominican. So
yeah, you can't take away that rum. I don't know. I've had some Haitian rum, man. It was up there.
Yeah, man. Like a few times I've been to Puerto Rico, and it's always been for work. But everybody in Puerto Rico was like, yeah, if you think the women are nice here, though, you need to go to the Dominican. And it was like, and they love anything American.
I've heard that from quite a few people. And when I went to Puerto Rico, I heard the same thing. It wasn't for work. Yeah. I used the money I made at work, but it wasn't for work. But it was pretty fun. It was a good trip. But I heard the same thing. Yet Puerto Ricans and Dominicans can't stand each other. I give them a head nod, give them a thumbs up. Go see my brother. Can't stand them. I don't understand why.
I'm gonna have to ask my Puerto Rican friends about that. I don't have a lot of experience with that dynamic there. But yeah, continuing on the theme of we're gonna get the dark stuff out the way early. We also need to have we confirmed it yet? Is it confirmed?
I think it's confirmed. Confirmed that he passed.
Yeah. So we have to send our thoughts and prayers and our condolences to the family of Thomas Ford, Tommy from the Martin Show. Yeah, I heard he passed today. 52. That's pretty young.
It is real pretty sudden. Young. It is pretty young.
And I don't want to go right there immediately, but the first thought I had when I heard was, we never found out what he did for a living.
And you know what? I said it earlier. I'm going to say it again. I was going to try to keep a straight face through this whole thing. No jokes. But the bottom line is, we have never known. What did this man do?
What did he do for a living?
Where is his 401k paying for the services? I don't know, because does he have a 401k? Like, where was this man's investments? I don't understand. He had Martin, and that was it. And he did a whole show about not having a job, while like in life he just never had a job. I don't understand. His job was not having a job. He was a professional, non-job having motherfucker, and I'm gonna miss him.
I would love to have that job of being a professional. Nah, that's the whole point of this pod. That's another point of this podcast for me, is to be a dude that, like, this is my job, which is not really a job, but.
I mean, I think it's pretty great, pretty dope to be able to do something that you love, something that you like, yeah, something that you have a passion for, and that passion be able to sustain you. So, yeah, Lord knows, I would love to do that. Right now, I think we're both doing IT, and IT pays the bills. But if I can get out of it,
exactly. Yeah, so I think we probably, in the future episodes, you know, start things off with a rant, and that's a perfect segue for me. I hate IT. I really, really, really like. I think there was a time where I like loved it, and you couldn't get me out of work, like.
Oh no, I still love it. I love it. I love technology, love gadgets. Hate the people.
I love it's technology.
It's a finite line. Yeah.
I hate IT. I hate having to fix
the support. Yeah, yeah, like on when as far as the project management and just the build outs and the R&D. Oh man, getting my hands on that technology, playing with these computers, coding everything, building out, like I love that. But I do get like some just why are you living type query. One person called me, I'm not gonna name names because I still work there. But I had a monitor that wasn't working, and it wasn't working because it wasn't plugged in.
Yeah.
Stuff like that makes me dread. Going
to work. Yeah. Now, I told you the other day, I had someone complaining that Skype wasn't working. And the way I knew, the way they informed me that Skype wasn't working was via Skype.
Yeah, see,
you're telling me Skype is, you're Skyping me to tell me your Skype does not work.
See,
I didn't even know how to approach that. I didn't even know how to begin the conversation.
That's right there. Yeah. What is it called? What did Dr. Lexus say? What was it? A bullshit level? My bullshit meter is overflowing. Yeah. That would have instantly tipped over
that's,
my bullshit.
That's a bullshit
scale.
Meter. Straight to 10.
I can't.
So yeah, I hate IT. This is gonna be a recurring theme. I just want you guys to know, I hate it. I really do. I think people should go to work and like look their IT guy in the face and just look him in the eye and say, thank you for not making me feel like an asshole. It's like, thank you for not making me feel stupid. Because that is our job. That's what we do every day. We go to work and we try to fix something. And the fixing it is the easy part. The hard part is not making you feel like a dumbass.
The explaining
it in a way.
You don't really want to know.
Yeah.
Why do you ask? You don't want to know how I fixed it.
No.
They
you don't
anyone.
Care. You don't care. I don't care. I'm trying to get back to my desk. We don't have to have a conversation. We don't have to be friends. I'm trying to, fix whatever it is that you broke. And you blame it on us. You say we break it and we do things. But I'm telling you, networks would be perfect invention. A network is such a beautiful and perfect thing. It's only when people start using it that it goes bad. Like if people just left my creations alone, they'd be works of art.
Yeah, I don't think people understand the full scope of what goes on behind the scenes and what IT actually means. Everybody just has a vague sense of what IT is, but then again, that term is just thrown around so loosely nowadays. IT, anybody who works with a computer is IT at this point.
Yeah.
So no one knows exactly what we're doing. But if you're on your computer and you can access the internet and your Outlook is working and your spreadsheet was able to pull up just fine, somebody somewhere in IT is doing a good job.
Do you understand the miracle that occurs when you click send on an email and it arrives at somebody else's machine? Do you understand?
I don't think they do.
The beauty of what just happened, but you complain if it didn't happen in like 3.5 milliseconds.
They don't.
If you understood
what goes
takes
into
place,
it.
What goes in to from send to the time where somebody's little notification pops up, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. But
one day on one of our tech rants, we're going to literally outline the process. We're going to bore the shit out of you.
Bore the living shit out of you.
But it's going to be good. We're going to break it down.
All right. So, Rich, you're a pretty dope mixologist. Is that the term nowadays? You don't call them bartenders.
I think it's called a mixologist. I feel like nobody wants to be a bartender. I feel like back in the day, everybody needed a nice, good, old-school bartender. You go to the bar, you make friends with this bartender. Number one, he's your friend now. So either you're getting a good deal or you're getting it for free. But either way, you're getting hooked up at the bar.
Yeah.
Number two, the bartender is the person you'd pour your heart and soul out to. And he had all the answers. Because back in the day, they was just a little old man who's been through it himself already, teaching you from life experience. You go to the bar now, and by the time you flag the mixologist down, order your drink, he comes back and brings it. He's already walking away. He stays long enough to see how much you're going to tip him out the corner of your eye, but then he's gone on to the next one.
I don't really do the buddy buddy conversation with the bartender. I go to a bar to drink, and I like bartenders that can make a nice drink, have a good repertoire, can recommend something to me if I don't know what I want at that particular time. And but I do kind of like you to keep. I like you to keep moving. Give me my drink.
I have my moments. I try to be friendly. I'm not saying I want to be your best friend, but BS conversation, keep it to the minimum. Current events, whatever's on the TV screen is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And we're going to build up this friendship slowly, and then next week when I come in, half off my Henny shots. That's all I'm saying.
But no, bartender, I believe in tipping, and there are probably three people at the top of my list for tipping. Number one, you have to tip your barber. You got to take care of your barber.
Oh, yeah.
Got to take care of your barber.
That's a good segue. Yeah. We can come right back to that one. I was going back and forth with some friends earlier on barbershop etiquette.
Okay, yeah. We got to do barbershop etiquette.
And loyalty.
So I'm running down the three real quick, and we're going to bounce right back to that. So barber, bartender. If you tip your bartender, they remember you. You might get a break. Drink. I had plenty of bartenders at the end of the night.
Yes, sir.
You know, bring me a bill that had half of what I drank. Like, they would stop counting. So it was like, just pay me this.
Exactly.
You know, because they know I'm gonna give them that, and I'm
gonna pretty much
I'm gonna hit them off with the tip.
There you go.
And now you tip cab drivers. I believe in tipping cab drivers. Back in D.C., like, you know, I caught cabs at the same locations all the time, and it was
pretty much get the same guy,
and it'd be times, you know. Especially, you know, if you're black and you don't live in the nicest neighborhood, it'd be, you know, I've had cab drivers vouch for me. Like, I walk up to the cab, say, hey, you know, this is where I'm going. And this guy's like, no, I'm not going over there. And another cab driver who I had, the day before, the week before, says, no, he's good people too. You know, so I believe in cab drivers, bartenders, and above all, barbers. But barbershop etiquette, yes, that's a very important thing. I think it's a lost, like...
Yeah.
Like, these are definitely man laws that people don't talk definitely about anymore, and they don't...
You know what?
And they lost.
That should be an official section.
Man laws,
manicate, whatever we're going to call it. Because I feel like there's certain virtues that we've gotten way away from. I'm going to come right back to that. Let me go ahead and get this what you sipping on for the week out the way.
Okay.
So, I have a pretty extensive bar at the house, pretty much... Anything you want, I got it. Every type of spirit, every type of mixer, every type of add-on, doesn't matter. Dry, sweet, vermouth, got a wine rack over here. Everything is in here. Lately, one of my favorite drinks has been a Red Snapper.
Red Snapper.
I think I made you a Red Snapper a few times. Red Snapper.
Back when I was drinking, yeah. I don't know. I'm sober.
Red Snapper.
Right now.
It's pretty red, good.
Every time you say it, like, just something pornographic comes to mind. I don't know why. I got a dirty
a red
mind,
snapper.
But Red Snapper just
I can see that.
Sounds like a girl I know.
It's definitely not breakfast. Nowhere
see,
near
could,
a lake.
See,
for it could be breakfast. Every time is a good time for a Red Snapper.
Red Snapper. I got.
Pull from that what you want. So a Red Snapper, basically, it's a 1 1/4 ounces whiskey. I usually use Bullet on a low end. But you can use anything, Jack Daniels, any good whiskey, any preferred whiskey that you like. I've tried it with the Garrison Brothers. I will tell you, if you use something like a Garrison Brothers, the person you make a drink for pretty much has to be in your crew. Like, I'm not going to make a drink with Garrison Brothers or Crown Royal or anything else and just say, here you go. Like, I gots to really fuck with you. Like, yeah. You gots to be, for lack of a better word, my nigga. Because if not, fuck you. I'm not wasting the good stuff. That's top shelf. Top shelf is in the back. You gonna get this little cheap stuff in the front. But on the regular, I like to use Bullet. So about a 1 1/4 ounces of whiskey. I usually use Bullet. About 1/4 to 1/2 ounce of amaretto liqueur. I just use regular amaretto. Works for me. It's inexpensive. Tastes great. And about 1/2 to 6 ounces of cranberry juice. Traditionally, you'd basically fill a highball glass with ice, pour the ingredients in, stir it up. Personally, I like to shake it. I like the taste of it shaken over ice.
Okay.
And pour it into the highball glass and... I don't know, it tastes a lot better, that nice chill on it, the well blending of the ingredients, tastes amazing to me. But traditionally, like I said, fill up a highball glass with ice, pour all of the ingredients, the whiskey, the amaretto, the cranberry juice in, stir it up, garnish it real quick with an orange peel, you're good to go. But yeah, red snapper.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
That's the quickest drink. It's three ingredients, four ingredients.
Shaking
whiskey,
it,
amaretto, cranberry, ice.
Give me
four ingredients. Try it out. Let me know what you guys think once this podcast airs. Hit us up on the blog, where it's tws.com. Leave a comment on a post. Like, hit us up on the forums. Let us know what you think of that that recipe. I'm telling you, you won't be sorry. Right. Red snapper.
Give me my Garrison Brothers straight, neat.
I mean, Garrison Brothers neat. Couple of Cold Stones. If you don't have Cold Stones, three cubes of ice, about two or three shakes. Let it sit for maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes. That's the best thing on earth. Best thing on earth. If you haven't tried it, try it. Garrison Brothers, if you're listening.
Yes, we. You got fans. We down
fans.
For let's work something out.
Listen.
We shouting you out a lot right now.
Like, we really are. Really, we shouting out a lot because we have you locally in the bar. Like, you're on Top Shelf, friend. I can go. I'm so close to the bar right now. I can touch it. Garrison Brothers, holla at us. We need some ad revenue. We need some sponsors.
We'll come out.
Just need some bottles of Garrison Brothers.
We'll come out, do the volunteer bottling.
Oh,
podcast.
Yep.
While we're there.
Straight live.
Like, we trying to make moves. We're trying to make moves here.
What is TWS?
But yeah, see, Rich just had a birthday, and that was my gift to my homie, was a bottle of Garrison Brothers.
Much appreciated.
It's going to become a tradition. It's only been two birthdays that I've known you, but you know, even though, and see, that's friendship, bro. I just wanted to let you know that's friendship. I'm not drinking.
I
got you a bottle of Garrison.
I had this conversation with my fiance, and I told her, I'm damn near probably not going to open the bottle until you start drinking again. So I got some left in the old bottle. It's not a big priority. I can leave it. But I was like, I'm not that close to many people. When I crack that bottle, I'm going to want to have a drink with a good friend. So if I got to wait. It is what it is. But it's much appreciated. Thank you, good sir.
Okay. And then at your birthday, and I tweeted this. I saw you take sips out of a shot glass, man. I you know, and we talk about mannequin, and it's a shot glass. But it's already a small drink. That's a one and done. That's tap, throw it back. I saw you take like three sips,
I don't know what's going on.
Sip.
Something happened. Something ran through my mind. I was thinking about something. I was looking at Renee. I don't. All of a sudden,
and it was blue.
I felt like what was?
It couldn't have been.
It was like a Windex or something like that. He gave. I don't know what he gave me. So the first sip, I put it up to my lip, and I was like, first, I have to analyze what this is. Sipped it. Instantly, I was like, nope, it's not a kamikaze. Second sip, no, it doesn't taste like a Windex. Then I was like, my man card is about to be revoked. So I just got to take the whole thing. I just shot the whole thing. Like, what the fuck? It is what it is. Drink the whole thing.
All right, so we on Manicure. We are going to get to barbershop rules, but like this topic just keeps it's organic. It's spinning on its own.
Are you going
to
go to the bathroom?
No, I'm not going to go to the bathroom. And if I was going to go to the bathroom, I probably wouldn't tell you I was going to the bathroom. I guess since we.
I'm talking about.
Oh, bathroom
etiquette. Yeah. That's what I thought you were
talking about. Bathroom etiquette is another big one. Another big one. What I was going to is the whole pause thing. Because I'm torn on pause. I still say pause. No homo every once in a while.
There's no need to. So you're grown ass man. You don't need to do it.
I'm a grown man. You know, I know what I meant. And if you took something, you know, if you tried to take it there, then that's on you. I'm trying to decide if I'm going to continue to say pause.
You know what it is? I don't plan to say pause. Sometimes it comes out, especially during a type of conversation. Like right now, we're having a real bro-friendly conversation.
Yeah. And
wasn't planning on saying pause. Came out. It is what it is.
I just
I don't feel the need to say it because fuck you. Yeah. I don't care what you think.
Right. Grown ass man. All right, so then let's get to some manner. Let's go to the barbershop first. All right. My number one rule, and you say if you agree with this, Rich. You never look your bartender in the eye. You never look your barber in the eye. No matter how close the motherfucker gets to you.
I can agree with that.
And that's a skill. Weird. It's a fucking art form to have somebody in your face.
I've mastered that straight zone out gaze. You pick a spot you just go to your happy place. You just go to that spot. Don't let it to pull you from that spot. You can't have a grown man, another grown man, in your face, his finger accidentally caress your cheek, hit your lip, hit your sideburns really quick. He's like, in your face, you making eye contact. No, no.
Yeah, I don't care if you shaping up my mustache, you staring me directly in the eyes.
No.
I'm going to find someplace
else. No eye contact.
No eye contact.
I agree with that one 100%. 110%. There should never be... When I'm giving you your money at the end,
that's eye contact. Yeah. You know, once I'm out of the chair, once I'm out of the chair,
once you hit that chair, all eye contact goes out the window.
Eye contact is done. Now, the dopest barbers, my favorite barbers, are the ones that when you're in the chair, and you know, a nice female walks in and they got you facing the mirror or something, they know how to. Let me go ahead and rotate you.
Rotate that chair real quick. You know what? I got to get the back of your head. I don't want you to see it in the mirror. I want you to see it up close.
I want you to see it up close. I'm just going to give you a little peek. All right, you saw that? And then we're going to bring it right on back. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's a skill. Only the best barbers have that skill. Know how to get you the best view of the barbershop at any given time. So what are some other manicure rules for the barbershop?
You know what? This one comes up a lot. How to cheat on your barber.
Oh, man.
It's hard. I'd almost say just don't do it. For one, finding a good barber is one of the hardest things to do.
Yes.
Unless your barber has gotten shitty, he's degraded, and he's not as good, and you found somebody better, I probably wouldn't cheat on your barber. Your whole life is in your barber's hands. That relationship is the difference between your wife, your girlfriend, shorty at the club loving you this week, or you hiding out with a baseball cap for a week.
Exactly. I mean, the right shape up changes your life.
Changes your life.
You come out the barbershop feeling like a brand
every
new
every guy
dude.
Has had that. It doesn't happen every time. You always get a good haircut. It's now one out of four times, though. You get that haircut that caught you on the right day with the right light.
Exactly.
With the right outfit on, and you get out the chair like $1 million.
$1 million. Ready
Denzel
to go.
Denzel who?
Yeah,
exactly. Richard is in the house. Fuck that. So can't mess that up.
But sometimes you got to. So I'm going through it right now. And hopefully, I mean, if my barber's listening, he knows the situation. So it's like when you find a underground artist. And that's your artist.
Mm-hmm.
You know about him. You might show him off to a couple of friends. Like, yo, check this new dude out. Like, I knew it first. You got it from me. And then he blows up. And now you can't get tickets to the shows. Stuff selling out. Can't find a CD. You know what that? That's I'm showing my age. Who buys CDs? But that's how I feel about my barber.
Man,
like,
you could have said a tape cassette. Could have said an 8-track.
I'm not that
said
old.
A record.
I'm not that old. I'm not that. I did have some 45s, though. But, that's how I feel like what's going on with my barber right now. Like when I met him, he was a good barber. He was well known. I got referred to him by another guy that was here, and now it's like he's so popular, not accepting new clients. I was trying to get you in there, not accepting new clients, and I got to make appointments. I never had to do that before. And now I got to make appointments, and he never has an appointment available. So I've gone like 6 weeks. With no haircut, and that's not a good look for me.
And I mean, it's not, but that's trying to stay faithful to the barber.
But
I feel like once you get to that level, to that situation, and you know he's not going to be available, it's like, fuck it.
It's going to happen. I got an appointment this Saturday with another barber, and then after that, I go back to my guy. So they always know. He's going to. And then they gonna talk shit about the dude that cut your hair before. Like, who did this? Who fucked your shape?
Yeah, they always gonna say that.
Push your hairline back.
I was about
like
to say
that.
He pushed you back about 3 centimeters on the left side. Your right brow was not the same. Your beard is not even. I don't know what's going on. You should have just waited for me. 3 months.
Three months.
Waited 3 months. We not really, we not dating. My wife made me wait 3 months. You gonna make me wait 3 months? Nope. Nah, it's not gonna happen.
Nah, but yeah, shout out to my barber. I don't know what he's going by right now, but used to be Clipper Beast. Hair Lounge is his shop. Great shop. I love being in there. Great conversation. You know, the haircut is always top notch. Say, I'm shouting you out too. We can do some advertising. Working on this. Working on blowing up, man. Clipper Beast, holla at me.
Yeah. Speaking of barbershops, I think we had a private off-air conversation about this before. The nature of barbershops have changed. Like, the barbershop used to be a sanctuary. I used to go to the barbershop and know every single person in there.
Yeah.
And my personal hometown barbershop, we had the two guys in the front that was playing checkers and chess. We had the dude that just had every connect. He was selling t-shirts. He had tickets to games. We needed a computer. He had that. He was bringing in the AC and a Freon. Like, he had everything. Then you had that young barber, the old barber who was still in touch with everybody in the neighborhood. So that's how barbershops used to be. And now it's like one dude, two dudes, everybody going. Nobody knows what's going on. They barely know the full list and regimen of how to cut hair. It's like you damn near got to show them a picture of what you want to get because they're so disconnected. It's just a dude from the hood who bought a pair of clippers and he's like, yo, I'm hustling.
Yeah. Now, I like this shop I'm going to now because I feel like it's getting back to that. It ain't got the people out there playing checkers and everything, but it is the same cast of characters every time I go in there. You know everybody. You know, and my barber seems to know. He's definitely building like a community. Mm-hmm. That's why I got my window tint man from, you know.
Shout out to window tint man.
Shout out to the window tint man. But yeah. Like back home, I miss that. I miss that sitting in the barber shop. You can sit in the barber shop, get your hair cut, have a good conversation, buy some socks, batteries, DVDs, whatever you needed at the time, and go home. It's like, and you can sit in the barber shop all day. You can be in there.
Do you remember buying batteries?
Batteries, yo.
The last time I bought a battery, battery?
Good, you get that good 12 pack of D batteries.
You got that double A, that triple A. Lord, I used to be in New York. I'm not trying to be stereotypical, but every time you got on a train from like 96 to 2005, it was a Mexican dude selling a pack of batteries, and it was a Muslim dude selling incense and oil. Every day, batteries. Man,
you ain't need Costco.
Nah, Costco changed the game.
Costco is the new hustle, man.
Shit, I think we got a 50 pack of batteries in there. Whoo, batteries.
Oh man, y'all. Inside Joe, y'all didn't see that. Oh, batteries. Yeah, cause I what was it this weekend? Something happened. Electricity went out. I told you the whole. You check out my post about showers in the dark. I think that's an important PSA for everybody.
I think we've all taken a shower in the dark.
Yeah, I had to take a shower in the dark because the electricity
showers
went out.
Showers in the dark.
And not we had a little. We had a little lantern, but the lantern took D batteries. Don't nobody got D batteries no more. I'm sorry. I got to pause because I'm watching this whole like. Game of charades, the rich and
the coquito. My bad. I'm asking my fiance to bring me the coquito. She coquito. Just recently took a trip to Puerto Rico, old girls trip, birthday trip. Shout out to the girls crew, Puerto Rico. And she brought me back some coquito that right, I've been sitting on.
What is that? What is coquito?
Coquito essentially is a Puerto Rican eggnog.
Okay, I've had that.
It's pretty good. I've never had this particular one. I've had friends make it for me. I've had parents off, people's parents make it for me. But I've never had, I guess, an official, like, mass-marketed coquito. So I was interested to see how it is.
Oh, yeah, that year. When I went to Puerto Rico, I did the duty-free thing.
You gotta do duty free.
I had to been like 22 at the time. I don't look my age now. And at 22, I probably look like I was 15. And I'm walking through the airport, and I'm double fisted. I got one box that's full of Don Q, the rum. And I got another box full of Puerto Rican eggnog. And I know everybody was looking at me like, what is this 14-year-old kid doing walking through the airport with all this liquor? But that was a good trip. It was a dope trip.
Yeah,
I came back and I got
love
it in.
Puerto Rico.
That Don Q was something special. Advertising hit me up.
You know what? I've had Don Q.
Not a fan.
So you know what it is? Let me rephrase this. Before I went to Puerto Rico, I never drank Don Q, and I was in mid-20s when I went the first time to Puerto Rico. Never had Don Q because it's like, why? Patron is everywhere, Sosa is everywhere, 1800 is everywhere. It's like, the fuck is a Don Q? When I actually went to Puerto Rico, everywhere I went, they were pushing Don Q.
Don Q.
When I finally had Don Q, underrated. I don't know what was wrong with me. Sosa, 1800, Patron. Not saying anything's wrong with Sosa, 1800, or Patron.
Message.
I'm just saying, Don Q is pretty freaking good. Like, it's a nice flavor.
Yeah.
It's a nice taste. It's a nice sipping liquor. Like, Don Q is on some, you're not mixing it. You're pouring it, and you drink that straight.
Drink it straight.
Don't mess up the flavor profile. Don't mess up the taste. That's pretty good tequila.
And I actually was bigger on the rum. The Don Q makes a rum, and the rum is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I got to stop talking about liquors. I'm sober life. If my probation officer is listening, I swear to God, it's sober life. I'm not. I'm right now, I got a ginger beer. What is this? Reed's Ginger Brew. No alcohol in the ginger beer.
Man, shout out to Puerto Rico. Alame Coquito Sabroso. This is good. Made with brandy and rum. This is good. I've never had mass marketed, mass made Coquito before, but this is good.
Yeah, man. All right. So I'm feeling a real New York vibe right now because you're throwing out all the Spanish words. You talked about the train. D batteries and all that good stuff. Like, yo, I'm sorry. We gotta get RG Mode on the podcast.
Shout out to RG Mode, my fiance's brand. She's doing her thing.
Message.
Interior design, personal shopping, bro, personal styling.
Speaking of that, since you're right here, you know, we're looking at getting a new spot. And so we were in there today, and we're like, man, Renee could have a field day with this. Just call Renee. Tell her, you know, hook us up, help us out. So, yeah, we might have a space we need your assistance with.
Renee J, rgmo.com. Look her up on YouTube, rgmo. She does it all. Holla.
Snapchat.
Instagram. Facebook. Twitter.
We on Vine. We on Vine.
Look her up. Look her up.
Yeah. But yeah, the New York vibe. Man, where was I going with that? I was going somewhere.
It's a few top stories in New York. Not necessarily top stories. A few thoughts I had about New York. One of them, I don't know if I'm too qualified to talk about. One of them I am. So the Supreme thing.
Yes, that's what I want to talk
and
about.
And then the new New York rappers. I don't know if you've heard of Young M.A.
Yeah, I've heard of Young M.A.
Yeah, so that's the two things I want to talk about. All right, so
help me out with the Supreme thing, because I, you know, this is cultural exchange. So we're going to start black on black, right? It, just to show you that not all black people are the same. I don't understand this whole Supreme. Like, these people, they're a brick, Rich. Break it down, because I'm getting emotional.
Basically, Supreme started out as a skate and lifestyle brand. And I think their success comes from the simplicity of design and ideas, plus the execution.
Yeah, it's simple. And
the limited amount of objects they make. First of all, so you go to New York, you're on Prince, and you go to the Supreme store, Supreme New York City. You walk in a store, the entire middle of the store is empty. All of the racks line the outside perimeter of the store. Basically, it's set up so that if you're a skater, literally the doors open, you skate straight into the store, skate around the store, pick the racks, go to the counter and get what you want, skate out. You know what I mean? So it was made as a comfortable place for skaters. That's what it's for.
Right.
And they've slowly evolved. They've been doing collaborations with companies, collaborations with Nike, Hanes, Jordan,
Hanes,
everybody else. So, I mean, they've just built up a cult following. And it's to the point where, yes, I own Supreme stuff. I like a lot of their designs. But some of the items are relegated and pushed literally towards what we call in New York, I don't know about the rest of the world, hype beast. A hype beast, essentially, if it's any hype, if it's any mention of a product, they're going to buy it just because.
Just because.
Then we got the resellers. I have friends who, after this brick was released, because they released the Supreme brick.
It's a brick.
Not a Supreme brick,
but
a brick by Supreme. A red clay brick that you can get from Home Depot for 87 cents. They released it and sold it for
$30. A brick.
I have friends who bought them.
Flipping bricks.
And flipped them. They sold them. I have friends who were literally, legally flipping bricks.
Flipping bricks. People stood in line for this brick.
Stood in line to flip bricks.
I don't, I, you know.
Flipping bricks and I'm
I
hustling.
I went to the
Woo.
Website. When you told me about it, I went to the website and I didn't look at, you know, I'll be honest, I didn't look at any of their like actual
apparel,
clothing or apparel. I probably looked at only the
accessories,
yeah. And the niche items. And I saw stuff like a pack of Hanes crew t-shirts. Yeah. They Hanes. They don't make any attempt to hide the fact
that ashtray was dope though.
The Let's Fuck ashtray.
Yeah, ashtray that says Let's Fuck. That's dope. I'm sorry, that's dope.
Okay, I give you that.
The water bottle look cool. I don't know if I'm gonna spend $30 on
the
water bottle.
The hot water bottle.
The hot water bottle.
Who the fuck uses a hot water bottle?
Nobody's gonna use it. That's the point.
That's the point.
I mean, because they're not gonna ruin it.
You're gonna
they're
buy
gonna
it,
save it,
it
and they're gonna flip it.
What the?
Who's gonna buy a used water bottle? It's all about the resale. Hypebeast. It's all about the resale.
I don't understand why you buy it in the first place, more or less why somebody would buy it from you after you've bought it. It's a water bottle.
To you, it's a water bottle. To the Hypebeast, it's a Supreme water bottle.
Let's go back. Factually, it's a water bottle. It is a water bottle. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you somehow emotionally attach greater value to it because there's a word embossed in the rubber, then that's I define
facts
that as insanity.
Are facts until they become opinion, and your opinion on a water bottle doesn't matter to hype.
It's factually
would,
a water bottle.
Would I buy a water bottle for $30? Correction, $28 plus tax, New York City 8.75%. No, would a hype beast? Yes, they bought a brick for 30. Flipped it on eBay for $1,000.
It takes me back to my childhood. It takes me back to my teenage years. I had the idea when I was a teenager, and I saw like this mentality brewing, is that I just needed to print up some T-shirts. I was gonna call it Flantech, because I think everything was tech back then.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna call it Flantech. I was gonna print up some T-shirts. Only print up like 50 of them. So there's an exclusivity, you know, sort of appeal to it. There's only 50 of them, and in charge like $80 for a T-shirt, and then it'd be like, "Do you have a Flan? Were you lucky enough to get
away with
a Flantech T-shirt? Like, it's only 50 of them. Do you have one of the 50 exclusive $80 Flantech T-shirts? Like, you could just feed off this. Like, you could just.
You know,
I don't know.
You know what that reminds me of? When I was a kid, I saw an article in the newspaper, Daily News, the Post. New York Times, was in the classifieds in New York. Classified section was an article. Article said, what if I told you I had a revolutionary device? It prints. It corrects itself. It draws. It has block letters. It can do cursive. Any type of print you want. and can fix its own mistakes, send postcards, whatever you want. And all you had to do for this device is pay a dollar. People are going crazy. Oh my God, I want that, I want that, I want that. The hype built.
Yeah.
Because of that hype, people were beasting for it. Everybody sent in their dollar to buy this object. The guy behind it made about $1 million, $2 million. You know what it was? A pencil. A pencil. He sold $1 million, $2 million pencils for $1 each because they can print. Because they can correct themselves. Because they can print in any format that the user chose.
Yeah.
It's a pencil. It's a
pencil.
But because of the wording, because of the hype around it, it sold. That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with hype. It doesn't matter. The reality is that it was a pencil. The hype is that it was an object that can do all of these things. What can that brick do? The brick can sit on your desk. It can hold a piece of paper down and be a paperweight. It can hold your air conditioner up in the winter. Doesn't matter. It says Supreme on it. It's $30 and everybody wants it.
It's I can't wrap my brain around it. I really can't. And so that also brings me to, like, so what's the mentality of the person that feeds off the hype beast? Like, is that okay? Is that okay to know that you can get someone to do something that's practically insanity? And because you can eat off of it,
these people they camp out.
So you're victimizing these people.
They camp out.
You're preying upon
in front of these places.
You're preying upon weakness. You're preying upon a weak-minded person. I'm sorry, anybody who bought the brick and you hurt, and I'm calling you weak-minded. That's how I feel. We're being unapologetically real right now.
And it's the industry that exploits it, but I mean, at the same time, nobody held a gun in their head. They held status, you know. They held likes on social media, but they didn't hold a gun to their head.
True. I mean, but and a girl I was dating said this to me, and it's like, why is it that girls, like exes, later on in life when you look back at it, they say like the deepest shit too. Like, it's always the chick that you fucked over at some point said like some life soul wrenching shit to you. But this one girl said to me, just because someone allows you to mistreat them doesn't mean you should.
You're absolutely correct.
And that's how I feel about this situation. And I'm sorry to that person. I think if you're listening, you probably know who you are.
Shout out to No Name.
All right, so that's anything else New York related you want to... Oh, so we were talking about Young M.A. And then somebody asked me about Dave East the other day.
Yeah, so I think a few of them, I don't know. So between, who was it? Was this Complex's freshman class? And then...
XXL?
Yeah, XXL's freshman class. And then I have a lot of family members, friends posting on Dave East, Young M.A., all over Facebook, Twitter. So, I don't know. So got on Spotify, and I basically just downloaded Young M.A.'s backlog and gave it a listen. I don't know, I'm torn. For one, I like hip hop, I like rap. I'm just not the most qualified, but like, I can't drop jewels, names and dates all day like you can. Like, you can refer to everything and that, see, that's your thing. You're the music guy. I did like some of her stuff. I'm not going to badmouth her because it's nothing that I hated. And I mean, it is what it is. I did listen to it my entire ride to work. And a lot of it was good. 50 jumped in on a track. I don't know that 50 necessarily made it better because I listened to the original without 50 and thought it was just as good.
Yeah.
But how do you feel about this new crop? This new species yes. of young rappers, because I don't even know if I want to call them rappers because it's not the same. Like, it's not hip hop. It's not the hip hop that I know. It's not what I grew up with. Like, what do you think?
You know, and we talked about this before, and this is one of those areas where I'm like, I'm torn, and I feel my age kicking in, and I feel like this is just that, the cyclic nature of, you know, new and pop culture, where, you know, you reach a, you know, when we were in our youth, you know, our music was what it was, and it held a certain meaning to us that to, you know, the generation before, you know, didn't make sense. I remember me and my mom, you fight about it all the time. She would say all she could hear is the curse words, and it was just noise to her. And even when I started listening to, like, you know, more of the progressive or inspirational, I guess, for lack of a better word, you know, rap, when I started listening to Common and Mos Def and Taleb and all of those guys, my mother would say things to me like, I don't listen to music to learn mm-hmm. something, you know. I listen to music to be entertained. So she didn't even like, even if it wasn't cursing, it just wasn't her thing. It just wasn't of her time. She had her time, and that music means something to her, and this new music just doesn't carry that meaning to her. And that's kind of like when I get ready to badmouth this new crop of rappers, you know, I feel like, am I doing what my mom used to do to me? Am I just, because I almost feel that way. Like, I can't understand nothing but the curse words. The music just doesn't mean anything to me. And, you know, Young M.A., Dave East, you know, the two that we've mentioned, I don't doubt that they're talented. I haven't listened to a whole lot of Young M.A. music. I think I've seen, like, videos on YouTube. And just because somebody asked me about Dave East, I went and looked up some of his music. And, you know, as a rapper, as a lyricist, I don't even want to say lyricist, but from the technical aspect of being able to rhyme, put words together that rhyme and make sense and tell a story or whatever, yeah, they're rapping. The subject matter doesn't touch me. Maybe I'm too old. I'm not from that life. I don't know that world. But when I was listening to Jay-Z, I wasn't from that world either. But it was something about the way he delivered exactly. and told those stories. It was something about his wordplay. It was something about the way he put things together that made that interesting to me. I normally pride myself.
You nod your head. You just immediately get into it. You hear that story and you vibe with it and you can understand that story.
Yeah. I normally pride myself on being able to separate the content from the artistry. And I will appreciate something if it's artistic regardless of the content. I have this argument with people all the time when I tell people, like, one of my favorite, one of the greatest performances or of lyricism, or one of the greatest displays of artistic talent in terms of rap, is Eminem's song Kim, where he goes through, you know, telling the story of murdering his mm-hmm. Ex-wife or girlfriend, her new husband, and the kid. And that's horrific. I can't identify with that story. I can't, you know, that's not subject matter that moves me. But the way he told that story, the imagery, the way he was able to rhyme and rhyme conversations, like, that stuff was beautiful to me. When I listen to the Young M.A.s and the Dave East, you know, either it could just be my age and that I'm not connected to them the way I was connected to him. I don't get that same feeling of, I don't find that same beauty and enjoyment in the artistic portion of what they do. And I definitely don't attach myself to the content.
I don't
so
think the visualization.
Yeah.
M was a storyteller.
Yeah.
And you can visualize that story. I don't think it's the same now.
Yeah.
So, I'm inclined to
agree. Like, the Jay-Z lines and, oh, man, like, I do it all the time. Like, just talking about this, I can hear it in my head. You know, who want to bet us that we don't touch letters, stack cheddars forever, live treacherous to all the et ceteras, to the death of us, me and my confidants, we shine, y'all feel the ambiance, y'all niggas just rhyme. Like, that, it still
sticks
sounds like
you.
Poetry to
sticks
me. It still sounds
you.
Beautiful to me. And I'm not about that street life, but that, I love
it. Resonates.
It resonates. I love that. I don't hear those lines from, you know, some of these new cats. I still, you know, I love the J. Cole's and the Kendrick Lamar's and J. Cole and his whole, like, man, I don't even know. I forget the name of his subsect or his group or whatever, but all of those guys, Bass, I'm really getting into a lot of the stuff that J. Cole is putting out. Like, not getting a lot of.
I'm a Cole fan.
Not getting a lot of push.
But yeah, shout out to J. Cole.
Yeah, shout out to J. Cole. But yeah, I get that from him. I listen to him, some of his stuff, and it's like, you know, even if it's subject matter and content that I don't agree with or don't can identify with, the artistry still touches me. And it's just with a lot of these new artists, I don't hear the artistry. And that's what I fell in love with rap. I fell in love with the artistry. I fell in love with people who could say something in a way you never heard it before, you know, regardless of what it was. If it was talking about murdering innocent people, you know, M said it in a way that you couldn't ignore it, like you couldn't walk away from it. It was intoxicating. I don't get that anymore. I miss that. I really miss that. So that's where I'm torn. Like, part of me feels like I'm just the old man whose time has passed that doesn't want to give up what he had. You know, I heard the argument from Vince Staples about, you know, the 90s was overrated, which he says he never said. But, you know, I haven't delved that far into the interview to know whether he said it or not. But he's saying, like, he was a baby in the 90s. He doesn't remember it. So the 90s are not going to hold the same importance to him that it will hold to me. And am I, you know, does my reverence toward the 90s just because, is it just a sign of my age? Or is the music back then that much better? I don't think there's any way to know. And, I guess that's a long-winded explanation of my approach. I just don't get the same feel from the music out now. Man, it just could be because I'm in a different place in life. And
yeah, I agree. It's we're getting older. This isn't really our time, but I don't know. It's 90s was a good time for music.
Yeah,
it really was. Early 2000s, we still had little bit stuff popping on, but a lot of these guys today, shit. I've heard some rap songs, hip hop songs, R&B songs, and they'll just say one sentence
and repeat it.
Whole album.
Yeah. But that somebody's listening to that and hearing beauty in it. That's I have to believe. I have to believe that there's a group of people that hear that and hear the beauty in that I heard in the music that I appreciated.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the reasoning. Maybe I just can't appreciate it.
Yeah, no, it's not for me. And it's weird because you know, you and I both, you know, tried our hand at the rap thing. I still feel like I'm in good shape. I still feel like I'm a lyricist and I could give a go to anybody who wanted, but I don't know if I could compete in this market because I don't understand what people like about this music. I'd have to do something completely different and hope that there were people that appreciated what I had to do, because there was no way I could be on the same wavelength as, you know, like Panda is not good music to me. I can't listen to that song and be like, this is dope.
I don't know what's going on with that.
I can't do it.
Well, shout out to all our listeners. Help us out. Explain this to us.
Somebody explain it to me. I don't understand the Brit. I don't understand the appeal of new music.
If you know what it is, if you can figure it out, let us know. Drop us a comment. Leave us an email. Let us know, like, why? Just why?
Why? I'm just old, man. I'm old.
You're only as old as you feel.
I feel old.
We're the same age. I'm not old.
No, we're not the same age.
We're not the same age. Not the same age. You got me by a couple of months.
Nah, I got you by like a year.
Subjective. And a half. A year older than me.
I'll be 35 in 2 months.
33? It's like right, we're a year apart, man. It's subjective.
It's a year. You'll see.
You are a lot closer to 40 than I am.
This me pulling my old man card. You'll see. You'll see. It sound the same right now, but yeah, 35 man. Creeps up on you. You'll feel different.
I mean, I already got that dad bod, so dad bod is real.
Hey man, I'm just accepting it. I'm done. I'm done with the every summer or every March. Starting to be like, I'm going to get in shape so I can take my... Nah, fuck.
No reason. No reason.
I'm good. Hand me another chicken wing.
I
got to live life, man. I got to enjoy.
You had me until you said chicken wing. If it was a thigh...
All right. We back?
If it was a thigh, maybe. Wing ain't got enough meat on it. Give me a thigh. Maybe a drumstick.
Drumsticks are classic. Drumsticks are...
They go with everything. It's a drumstick is a certifiable hand food.
Yes.
Drumstick's the only piece of chicken you can eat one hand.
One hand.
Devour it. All day. Every day. Everything else, it's too much work. A wing, that's three different moving parts. Three different pieces you gotta break down.
You get the wings that's already broken down. You got your flat pieces. What do they call them? Flappers. And you got your drumettes. You know, yeah, football game, some wings. It's a good time. It's good.
Why don't we have more buffalo drumsticks? See, that's how come every time I make spicy chicken,
yeah,
I make buffalo drumsticks and I make buffalo thighs.
All right, so, hey,
I'm a grown ass man. Give me a real piece of chicken, damn it. I don't want no drumette. Give me a full piece of chicken.
Right. New business idea. We open up the restaurant. Buffalo drumsticks.
Buffalo drumsticks. Buffalo drumsticks. Buffalo quarter legs. Buffalo breast. That's all I'm saying. Give me a breast.
If you're going to go in, go all the way.
Yeah, real piece of chicken. You know, chopped up wing. And you know what's crazy? It's one wing. They chop it up and say you got two pieces. That's one wing.
Right, yeah.
Now one wing is two pieces of chicken? Wings.
You order 10 wings, you get
five. No.
Five, you get 10 halves.
See, that's the okie doke. I know how to count. I know what a chicken look like. Okie doke.
I'm not understanding, Rich. I'm not understanding. You're upset about the half wing, but a $30 brick or some $28 Hanes t-shirt. Listen, it's cool. I'm not following you.
I never condoned the brick. The bricks I got, they came in the backyard. I'm not paying $30 for a brick. You can build a house of bricks with $30. I'm just saying. I can see why. I know why. Am I going to do it? No. I'm not spending $30 for a brick.
I struggle to understand it. It makes
some
zero sense to me.
And I'm not standing online. However, if I had the opportunity, would I buy some Supreme Air Force Ones? Some Supreme Timberlands? Yes. All day, every day. Why? Because the little $250 I pay for this pair of sneakers, it's worth $2,500 the next day. And I've seen it personally.
It's sickening. I'll admit it.
I would resell my Supreme Air Force Ones. Or my Supreme Dunks, rather. Because I wouldn't keep them. I got some limited Dunks right now. I'm good.
All right, what is a Dunk? Like, I have... I am just ignorant when it comes to this New York culture. What is it? Where did it come from? Why call something a dunk? Like, I know of a dunk, and it's something Kobe does.
We're not dunking basketballs. A dunk is basically a line of skate shoe and alternative lifestyle shoes from Nike. So it happens to be one of the most popular sneaker lines there is. They've even gotten into women's fashion, and they make high heel dunks at this point. High heel dunks. They call the dunk sky high.
I can't do it.
I mean, the price starts low.
You see me?
It goes up there.
If Franklin said he was releasing some Franklin the barbershop, not the barbershop, mm-hmm. the barbecue spot.
I knew he was going to say. I knew.
If he said he was releasing.
Shout out to Franklin's barbecue. Hey,
if he was releasing some limited edition smoke wings, I'm online all day.
Shout out to Franklin's barbecue.
I'm talking about the drumettes. I was standing in line for them drumettes.
I'm not standing in line for no drumettes. I'm still trying to convince myself to stand in line for that brisket. Shout out to Franklin's barbecue.
It's the experience.
If you can get us in there without standing online, we'll pay full price. But so
you got to be Obama to slide through that line like that, bro.
Man. And you know, Franklin's barbecue line up. For Franklin's barbecue.
Did you see the flack that Obama caught for being able to skirt through that line? Like,
he went to Franklin?
He went to Franklin. They was not happy about Obama sliding through that line.
Nah, they spent the night trying to get online.
It's the experience. You sit out there, you get some friends, you got some beers or whatever. Ginger beer for me. Yes. And you wait for barbecue.
I still have not made it to Franklin's. Did the Salt Lick. Did the Blacks.
Shout
did
out
the
to Salt Rudy's. Lick.
everybody Shout out else, to but
blacks wasn't that impressed with.
Really? I thought blacks was cool.
No, black. I'm not that impressed with blacks
so far.
Salt Lake is definitely my.
So right now, Salt Lake is my number one, and people are telling me Salt Lake. I say I don't want to say this sentence correct back to back. Right now, Salt Lake is my favorite brisket here in Texas, my favorite barbecue. And people are telling me Salt Lake is bullshit in comparison to Franklin's.
Yeah, see, what I hear about Franklin's is it's good, but it's not the life-changing experience you're expecting from having to
sit in line. That's my thing. It's like, is it that good that I should really stand in line to experience it? Or am I going to stand in line and be mad?
I don't think you'll be mad. It's one of those things that you just have to do so that you can say
I can
you
go
did
to
it.
Salt Lake, not stand in line, and absolutely walk away with an amazing meal.
But then you'll always have in the Family back of style. Your mind, always have in the back of your mind, what does that Franklin's brisket taste like? What is so amazing about that? It's going to stay there until you do it. It's going to haunt you.
See, I gotta go.
Right there on your forehead until you do it.
I got to go, but somebody camping out with me because...
Hey, so shout out to Franklin's and Garrison's. If you sponsor us to stand in line at Franklin's with some Garrison brothers, stand in line, podcast, we got bourbon, we got barbecue. That is a Texas. It's a Texas day.
Yeah, you can't beat bourbon and barbecue.
Bourbon and barbecue. And we talking about bourbon and barbecue at like 6 o'clock in the morning.
So Franklin, you know what time Franklin's closes?
When they run out.
When sold out. Could you imagine being that one guy in line, and when you get to the counter, they're like, "We sold out." Yeah.
It happens. Somebody on the forums hit us up with your story about how you missed out, how the guy in front of you got some and you did.
Drop us a line. Hit us up on the forum. Send us an email. Check out the website. whatistws.com.
What is TWS?
Leave it. We're going to make a post just about this. How did you feel when you got to the front of the line at Franklin's Barbecue?
And they was like, ah.
We're done.
But what if you stand in line all that time? All right, so let's say this. You stand in line all that time. You're a brisket man. You're there for the brisket.
Oh, yeah, I'm brisket.
And you get to the front of the line. They still have food. But no bread. All they got left is like, for me, the bottom rung would be like turkey breast. Like, I don't want no fucking turkey breast.
Yeah, I don't want no.
So let's say you get all the way up there and all they got left is turkey breast. Do you take the turkey breast because you stood in line that all that fucking time? Or do you, it's not brisket, fuck you, I'll never come back again.
I don't know if I can settle for the turkey. It's got to be the brisket.
Ribs.
The baby back ribs.
Sausage.
The beef ribs. The sausage or the pulled pork. I don't even know if they have chopped beef.
I feel like saying pause on the sausage.
Pause. outside of that, like what? It's not worth it.
Not worth
it. I'm not walking away with some barbecue turkey breast. Not from no damn Franklin. The barbecue turkey breast at Franklin's?
Turkey breast.
I can't even tell nobody that story.
True.
I waited online for turkey
brisket. Sure, you'd have to lie and say you got brisket.
Yeah, no, I'd have to lie.
You have to lie.
Shout out to Franklin's.
And the turkey breast.
Somebody $20 a pound for the brisket. I saw on TV earlier.
See, and I'm willing to pay that. $30 for
too.
A brick? Okay, I'm going to keep coming back to the brick.
See, I'm willing to pay the $20 a pound for the brisket. What I'm not willing to do is I saw one guy, he went to Franklin's and bought 14 pounds of brisket, 5 pounds of sausage, no, 14 pounds of brisket, 5 pounds of ribs, and 3 pounds of sausage for his coworkers. I don't work with anybody that I like that much. $500 on barbecue?
What I'm mad about is that if you're that guy who got to the front of the line and there was no food left, you shouldn't let nobody order that much fucking food. It's Franklin's. There's a bunch of people looking for food.
It should be a limit.
It should be a limit.
It should be a purchase
limit. You get
limit.
Up there, you can't order 14 pounds of brisket.
They only making 6 briskets a day, and he bought 2 of them.
It's not fair.
No.
It's not fair. I don't believe in it. Can't support it.
No. All right.
So speaking of things I don't believe in, I'm doing horrible segues right now, but we was going to talk about brisket for a long time because I'm old and fat and I enjoy it.
Brisket's good. Shout out to brisket.
But speaking of things I don't believe in, we'd be remiss if we didn't discuss this election in some way, shape,
or form. I do not believe in this election. I do not endorse these parties. To take one from you, I'm not voting for Hillary.
I'm
voting against Donald.
Yes.
In my adult life, I have never seen an election that I voted in and I was like, can I just skip it?
Yeah.
Can we skip it? I saw a meme on Facebook that said, this election is like mom and dad fighting over custody of us. And I really just want to go stay with grandma. That's how I feel right now.
Yeah, yeah.
What? Have you seen the debates?
That's the thing. I can't do it. I can't get into it. I refuse to even acknowledge it. I watched Sunday Night Football during all the debates so far. I'd rather watch a football game and get some sort of entertainment value out of it. It's not entertaining to watch the two people who, possibly will end up
run our country
have these dumbass conversations. It's not entertaining to me. I have to vote because, like I said, this is not a vote for Hillary. This is a vote against Trump. I feel like the stakes are too high. You know, I can't make the mistake of sitting this one out and slipping up and something horrific happen. Because every time you think there's no way this motherfucker is going to get elected,
his
poll numbers go up. Like, I didn't think he was going to be the nominee. I didn't see how it was possible. And the shit just happened. It just kept happening. Like, we kept sitting by and like, nah, people going to smarten up in a moment. Like, what does he have to say? Like, what does he really have to say?
They don't care.
For people
they
to be like care. This? Did you hear about his concussion statements today?
I didn't even hear anything today. What's going on with the concussion?
And I mean, not that this is an important issue, for the country at all. But I think he was asked about the NFL and these concussions. And he said something, and don't quote me. I don't know exactly what he said. I barely looked at the article. But apparently he said something to the effect of these guys get a little ding on the head and out for a season. Like for some reason, he doesn't believe that concussions are a serious injury. And you know what? I can believe that he would say something like that because I think he's been playing with a concussion his
entire life.
Yeah. Maybe he doesn't understand why people have to sit out a game when they take a blunt force trauma to the head because he's been living that way for a long time now. But it's crazy. It's a circus. I can't watch these debates. I can't.
Shout out to blunt force trauma. Donald Trump, I don't know what's going on here. He should not be allowed to run. He should not be allowed. I don't know how he got this far. I don't know how he made it, but someone put us out of our misery because what the hell? Donald motherfucking Trump. This man owes like $700 million in taxes. He owes more in taxes than half of America will see in a lifetime. And he's self-proclaimed smart for that. What? He's smart for that. Goddamn motherfucker.
That should be like a bumper sticker for the election. It should
God
be like
damn motherfucker.
Hillary 2016. Goddamn motherfucker.
Donald Trump. Who's voting for him? Goddamn motherfucker.
But people love him.
They're doing it.
Yeah.
They're doing it.
They're doing it.
Shout out to stupid.
Shout out to stupid. That's a large percentage. There's more stupid people than I ever realized. Yeah, that's another deep thing someone has. People have said some deep shit to me over my life, and I hold on to these. So I hope people that have said these things to me are listening, and they see that I hold on to things that people say to me. But one thing someone said to me, and maybe we can have this discussion real quick. We probably should wrap up in a little bit, but fuck it. It's organic. We're gonna let it go. But one thing that someone said to me that really stuck with me, there we go. All right, is that I don't think I'm smart, I think everyone else is stupid, and that's my problem.
What?
Yeah, that's and I've spent a lot of time like breaking that down and trying to see if I truly understand it.
That's what?
And I've gone back and forth on what it could mean and if it's real or not. I think lately the way I've been seeing it is that it's my problem because I don't think that anything I do is exceptional. And I look at other people like, why can't you do it too? You know, so if I go to work and I excel and I figure something out, or I can figure things out quickly, or I can understand, you know, concepts a little faster than, you know, other members of the team, I tend to look at them like, why can't you figure it out?
Why can't you do it too?
Rather than look at myself like, yeah, you just have a great aptitude, or you have a knack for learning this stuff. To me, I'm not doing anything exceptional, and I tend to expect the same from other people, and when I don't get it, I'm disappointed. So that's the way I'm looking at it right now, that I need to put more stock in myself and say, yes, you're capable of things that other people aren't capable of.
I agree.
And
wholeheartedly. I used to feel the same way. I used to feel like at a bare minimum, it's certain things that you're supposed to know.
Yeah.
And I felt like all of these things that I knew that I was capable of doing, everybody else was the same.
Yeah.
And I would feel disappointed when that was not true. But to your point, you know, you just gotta put more stock in yourself.
It's another deep thing. So don't be a person that thinks everybody else is stupid. Realize that there's a talent or a skill you have that other people don't have. Deep thought for the day. All right.
Shout out to not being stupid.
Please shout out to not being stupid. Like, need people to get on that bandwagon. Don't be stupid. Don't buy a brick unless you intend on reselling it, unless you intend on flipping it. But then there's that person that buys it from you saying, it's just
a cycle.
Fucking clusterfuck.
Some vicious clusterfuck cycle.
All right, Rich, what else you got? Should we hit on something else, or you want to do some final thoughts? What you want to do here?
Some good final thoughts. Actually, you know, it was a segue. I wanted to comment on your intro, actually.
Okay. Let's keep it going.
Because you were talking about the ginger beer, just because we always buy ginger beer. And now I cannot remember that brand of that, like, super good one. It's like Lulligan's or something like that. I can't remember. So I'm basically messing up this segment right now.
Doesn't matter.
When it comes back to me, I get to it. But so we've been essentially buying every ginger beer on the market. Every single one. Some are good. Some are bad. The majority of them are like, what the fuck did I just buy? Either too spicy or just the flavor profile is off, but we've had a few good ones, and now we keep buying the same one over and over again, but it's like $8 for a 4-pack. And I'm like, what the fuck? $8 for a 4-pack of ginger beer? You should not be paying $8 for a 4-pack of anything and you're not getting drunk. I'm sorry, but I mean, it's worth it. It works, so F it.
Yeah, I drink it because it comes in bottles, looks like beer, gives me, you know, it keeps people from asking me why you aren't drinking. Because unless I, you know, rotate the bottle so you can see the label.
It's a bottle.
You know. It's a green bottle. You might think I'm drinking a beer. So that's why I guess I've developed a taste for it. I didn't exactly love it at first, but
yeah, some of them are too spicy.
You do
and I mean,
what you gotta do.
I holler at a ginger beer every now and then. I might make a mule?
Moscow mule.
Moscow mule.
Oh man, those are delicious.
I'll make one of those every now and then. I'll get some of those exotic ginger beers. We bought like a apple kiwi something lime ginger beer from the store, and then I threw some of that Raika vodka in it. And that was pretty cool. So I mean, hey.
Yeah, but no matter what a stripper tells you,
there is no
there's
beer.
No alcohol in ginger beer.
There's no beer like ginger beer.
It's good stuff, though.
Unless it's not ginger beer. Then it's great.
So let me see. What do I want to leave people with? Well, just promote the website, man. What is TWS? We're filling it up with content. I'm going to be going on rants. I'm going to be telling stories. I'm dropping playlists every week. There's a playlist up right now. I think I called it I share because I care.
Tune in every week to see how much he actually cares.
I care. So I'm trying to share every week. I think is good music with the people. And so, yeah, you know, check out the playlist. Let me know what you like, what you don't like. Maybe in later episodes, I'll actually break down the playlist and what these songs mean to me or how I discovered these particular artists. Because songs are, you know, like, music is extremely important to me. Like, every song seems to have a meaning, or it takes me to a place. I can remember when I first heard it. I can remember when it was important to me. And I'm having a lot of fun putting together these playlists.
But this current playlist is actually pretty good. I've been playing it in the car on my commute. I switch back and forth between iHeartRadio and Spotify. And when I turn on Spotify, that's the first one that comes up because I've been picking it every time. Yeah. And it's a good pick. It's a good playlist. Like 10 solid songs. They're not all upbeat, they're not all downbeat, they're not all slow. It's a very good mix. I think the order that they're in is actually pretty good too. It's a comes across as a well thought out mix.
I appreciate that.
And they're not a few of the people I've heard of before, not all of them, but it definitely is a really good playlist. I like it a lot. So when you get a chance, go check out What Is TWS Podcast, whatistws.com. Check out the latest playlist, I Share Because I Care, 1007 from Sir Flan over here. Sir Flan.
Yeah, not.
And I do it every time. Listen, I got 33 years of saying Flan. I'm trying to just decompress it, just reteach it. It's hard to reteach. It's hard to relearn. I'm trying to relearn. But check out that latest playlist. Let us know what you think. Follow us. What is TWS on Facebook? What is TWS on Twitter? What is TWS on Instagram? What is TWS is invading your world. Yes. If it has a social presence, tag us.
We are there.
Follow us. Look at us. We're there. What is TWS? We're coming at you.
So you want to know your questions? What cultural questions you have? What things do you not understand? I'm gonna be asking some questions. I got some things I need addressed, and I need some white people to answer some stuff for me. I need to know, first and foremost, how you can sing on beat and dance off beat at the same time. That one has been
inquiring minds
important to me for a long time, and I haven't really got a good answer. I've gone to karaoke and I've seen people sing a song on beat. So you obviously can hear the beat because you're singing the lyrics, you know, with the correct timing, but your movements show that you're
doesn't translate.
And that, you know, I need to understand that.
That is a good one. Shit, never thought about that.
How are you hearing two beats at the same time? Maybe that's just a skill that I don't understand.
Singing perfectly in key and on tune, dancing off beat.
Pretty dope. I mean, it's pretty, like, when you think about it, that's like what is it, patting your stomach and rubbing your head at the same time, or patting your head and rubbing your stomach. I don't know. One of those. I need
it's
answers.
Different. Can you pat your head and rub your stomach? If not, can you rub your stomach and pat your head? See, two different things.
I need answers. So yeah, hit up the forums. Maybe you can tell me and we can discuss it in another episode. But this has been fun. This is the White Pants Society. My name is Jay Flan.
This is Rich Nerd over here.
All right, and we'll catch you next week. All right.
Holla.
Peace.